We've been in a series of sermons this Lent about one-word prayers, the kind that we pray often without even fully realizing we're praying. It's the oops we talked about on Ash Wednesday. It's the help when we need it most, and the why as we're puzzling over exactly what's happening. Today, we turn to look at the please. The please, will you hear me, God? Please, will you attend to my needs and the needs of others? Notice the nearness of please and plead. Plead, that thing you do in court when you enter guilty or non-guilty, and please, that thing that comes from seeking favor, as in, would it please you if I shared cake with you after worship today? I hope it would. We have a fellowship time after service. Luke's parable of the persistent widow takes both the nuance of please and pleading to consider prayer. The parable starts out about prayer, not losing heart, and moves into a story of justice, ending with a question about faith. Doesn't that sound just like God, meeting us where we are and traveling with us to where God knows we can be? In the parable, we have as our main character the persistent widow. Widows in ancient time were often regarded as vulnerable. Without the protection of a main income earner, and in some cases, without family. So the widow, in treating the judge, highlights her vulnerability and desperation, but I think also her ingenuity and her creativity. Here, she has God on her side. The Bible often gives special attention to the most vulnerable among us. Now, this isn't the first place we have prayer in Luke. In fact, the gospel is stitched together with images of prayer. Those who pray at the temple, prayer at Jesus' baptism and birth, the disciples and Jesus who come away to pray away from the groups who have gathered. And the stories of Holy Week we'll be telling not so far from now, which are founded around prayer. So we find a widow beseeching a judge who is known for being cruel and unfeeling. We don't know exactly what justice she's seeking, but we know of her persistence. The judge who ultimately relents, and we see his reflections of exasperation with her. The literal translation of the judge's grievance is that she's going to give me a black eye by wearing me out. Persistence, knocking and knocking and knocking again. Jesus teaches us that our persistence in prayers of intercession, of pleas and pleading, is something we have as well. If even the most unjust of judges will finally relent, then how much more the God who is a good judge answer our prayers? God's goodness and eagerness in direct contrast with the unjust judge. Do not be troubled or afraid to bring your petitions before God. After highlighting the persistence of the widow, we hear Jesus end with a question that moves it from the here and now to the future of tomb and resurrection. And, he asks, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? We have the beginnings of those answers even in the Gospel of Luke. The centurion who believes that Jesus will heal the slave without even coming to the slave. The sinful woman who anoints Jesus with her tears, even taking the criticism of those around her. The friends of the paralytic, you remember, who go in through the roof because there's no other way to get their friend healed. The woman with a blood issue who just touches the bit of Jesus' robe and knows she's healed. The leper, the one of ten, all of which were healed but one, who comes back to say thank you. And the blind beggar who sees Jesus for who he is, even though he couldn't see Jesus. It's not only the faith of those in the gospel, but today as well. I recently read a story that a researcher at Duke University shared. There was a gathering of his family from a 60th wedding anniversary. Can you imagine that stories began to be told? And as the stories began to be told, Uncle Emil, who was the only remaining brother from that time, tells this one, how in the last months of World War II, this uncle and hundreds of 16-year-old Germans were forced into the army out of desperation by the Nazis. Now, 16-year-olds not equipped or trained to fight were captured almost immediately by the Allies and confined for 3 months in an open-air field. In an open-air field, over two-thirds of them died from exposure and starvation. When the war ended, the gates were open. We remember how this happened, and the young men who were still alive were told to go if they had homes to go back to. The uncle described that barely alive, he stumbled out of the field and looked for the nearest town that he might find refuge in. He knocked on the first door that he found. The family of incredible grace took him in, fed him, clothed him, and acted as if he was the son that they had lost. Months later, when he was able to, he emigrated to Canada and connected with the family who was celebrating the 60th wedding anniversary. The love that the German family showed to a stranger, no questions asked, provided this man, Uncle Emil, with hope, with faith, with grace and mercy in a time in which humans had shown their worst side against the horror and the inhumanity. A family willing to take in a stranger embodied faith that would have this family to survive across generations. Can you imagine the prayers of a young Emil, barely whispering in an open-air field, please, to God, hoping against all hope? And can you imagine him at that first door knocking and hoping that he might find shelter? Can you imagine the prayers of the family who were probably experiencing their own loss, their own fears, devastation, like so many families during World War II were? It was a simple and profound, life-changing act of this anonymous family that allowed themselves to be used as an answer to prayer, that the first family was celebrating 60-some-odd years later. For us, it's a simple and profound life-changing act to let ourselves be used as an answer to prayer so that others might also have life. Praying for another's well-being allows God to weave us into others' well-being, In this manner, we become part of those for whom we pray, and they become part of us. Each time we hear someone ask us for prayers, every time we read a prayer chain request, every time our hearts are moved with compassion to plead and to please on someone else's behalf, we open ourselves up for God to use us for God's use. We risk being used by God as answers to our own prayers. We allow ourselves to be an instrument of God's when we imagine how we might serve those for whom we've prayed. It's when you and I pledge to pray for our family promise, families and all those without permanent housing, and then find ourselves with opportunities to serve those without housing with the hope totes that get handed out through the Sunday breakfast mission in Wilmington. God has begun to use us to answer our prayers. It's when you and I pray for a family member going through cancer treatments, and then our hearts are open to hear someone else talking about a treatment that would benefit our loved one, and then sharing it with them. It's when you and I pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, and then find a kind of tenderness in our hearts towards those we'd rather not associate with, usually. For all of us who wonder, do our prayers make a difference? For all of us who feel as though we have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and not seen the result that we hoped for, this parable is for us. In your bulletin, I hope that you will find a post-it note stuck inside of it. Each week, we've been growing a prayer tree. Did you notice it as you came in through the lobby narthex area? It's been reflecting the prayer requests of various folks. And people throughout the week have paused and kind of prayed alongside the requests that we have put up there. This week, I'm inviting you to write on that post-it note a please prayer, something that you are pleading with God for yourself or for another, some please that you have. Would you pause now, find a writing implement, and write it. After the service, don't forget to put your prayer intercession, your pleas, or your pleading to the growing tree of prayers out in the lobby. In this intentional time of prayer, I invite you to be a people of prayer. Be intentional about the pleases that people ask of you. Would you pray for? And the pleading that you find yourself doing for our world and for others. For my friends, our God is good and hears our prayers, answering them faithfully in God's time and God's wisdom. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.